Joining us right now is the Stark County Sheriff, George Meyer. Sheriff, how are you on this Thursday morning?
I'm great, Jordan. Good to talk to you. Yeah. You know, we enjoy this little bit of nice weather that we have left today because it sounds like the forecast isn't too good for the weekend this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, and I feel as though it's going to linger into next weekend as well. Sheriff,
yeah.
I know that the sheriff's office can't, you know, you guys can never, you know, dive into, you know, the investigations and everything that you're conducting. But I want to hear from you as to why you believe it's so important for the sheriff's office or any local law enforcement agency to take their time to investigate something and not rush into an arrest. And the reason I bring this up is because I've covered a couple stories in the last month that maybe a year later is when a suspect is arrested. Well, why is it important to investigate the full thing before, you know, just off the cuff arresting someone immediately following a crime?
Well, Jordan, that's a really good question. Sometimes, you know, we all of us would like justice to be swift and sure. And it unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. We see that in programming, TV programming, where, you know, in an hour segment, the crime is solved. In the real world, it doesn't work that way. There are, you know, a number of things that come into play. Number one, collecting evidence, analyzing evidence. Those things take time. If I submitted evidence to a crime lab today, and it doesn't matter what crime lab, it's usually a 30-day turnaround before I get the results to that. And so, you know, when you start to compound that in a complex case, and when you want to put this all together, you know, to tell the entire story, in fairness to the victims, the suspect, and to the community, you really have to take your time and methodically work through those pieces as you put the puzzle together.
Now, when an investigation is ongoing, you know, are you guys in touch with the suspect, or do sometimes these arrests just come as complete surprises? If you can answer that, fine. I just want to know from someone who listens to a lot of true crime.
That is a great question. You know, sometimes we are in contact with the suspect. Other times we're working in a different area to collect information or evidence, and we might not have a lot of contact with the suspect, depending on what the particular crime might be. And in some of those cases, you know, 6 months, 8 months, sometimes a year or so later, when there's an indictment or a warrant that comes out for someone, they sometimes are surprised because maybe they think they're in the clear. But really what's been going on is a lot of work behind the scenes to complete a thorough and proper investigation.
Yeah, it's important to take your time and not rush into something. And one of the reasons I bring this up is I, you know, TikTok, you know, I was on TikTok. I was being the 26-year-old that I am. and I'm scrolling through TikTok today, Sheriff, and I see I come across this video where this young woman was found dead in her apartment, and her boyfriend was also in the apartment as well, and they just automatically arrested the boyfriend, and then they found out that he was also a victim, and throughout the course of their interrogation, they found out that he was shot during a home invasion as well.
Wow.
And they never noticed it, and he was in such a state of shock.
Sure.
And it's important, right, for you guys to collect all of that information before you just, you know, take someone into custody.
Right. That's a good example of why it's so important to slow things down. Go through the steps that you would normally go through to conduct a proper and thorough investigation. It's our duty. It's not just a requirement. It's our duty to process a crime scene and to do a thorough investigation so that, you know, we collect all the information, not just part of the information, and make decisions based on a partial fact picture.
And I believe that if you are questioning a suspect, the more they work with you and law enforcement, the easier it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk to people all the time that help us with cases. They may be a witness, they may be a victim, and sometimes even suspects will help us with cases. So, you know, and that's why, you know, some of our best skilled investigators are folks that can develop an ability or have an ability to communicate with people, because that's the kind of thing that helps them do their job better.
And I'm sure you see a lot, you know, with Dateline or 2020, how people, they're starting to become infatuated with true crime stuff, you know.
Right.
Everyone, they think right now that they're detective sheriffs.
That is true. We see a lot of that. And, you know, sometimes people are helpful for us. Sometimes people can give us information. They like to follow some of these crime things. You know, one of the, you know, you talked about some of the reality shows that are on, but, you know, the show that really is, that depicts the best picture of what we do in law enforcement is The First 48 Hours.
Mm.
That is a program. I think it's on one of the networks. And, you know, it really does depict what law enforcement goes through, some of the hurdles that we face in collecting evidence and talking to witnesses, and how important that first 48 hours is on a capital case or a homicide or something of that nature.
Since you've been in law enforcement, have you covered any cases that have ended in a conviction that have been part of possibly one of those true crime things, like Dateline? I know you spent some time in the Steubenville area, or ABC's 2020. Have you ever covered a case that garnered that kind of attention?
Well, I can't recall one. I know the office here, prior to my tenure as the sheriff, they had the Bobby Cutts case. That ended up on a Dateline or a similar type of program. There have been programs that have been featured here in the greater Canton area, where maybe we weren't the primary investigation unit, but maybe where we assisted on. So, yeah, there are some of those cases that come up once in a while that, you know, the hard work that you did is showcased in one of those true crime shows.
Yeah, the Bobby Cutts case, that happened, man, over 15 years ago. That was 2007. That
right.
was a local police officer who killed his girlfriend, and he was sentenced to nearly 60 years to life in prison.
Sure. Yeah, and so that was an interesting case. And there are other interesting cases around that, you know, sometimes they will they'll pick up on and want to talk about. So, yeah, that's that can happen at any time. I can't recall anyone specifically that I was involved in, but there have been cases that certainly have been from this area.
Now, Sheriff, do you guys like to share your stories with the media after a conviction has come down? You know, if there's the chance for the sheriff's office and the family, if they're willing to sit down with the media, is that something you guys like to do, is to kind of explain, you know, why you guys spent so much time on a particular, if that opportunity was afforded to you?
Oh, absolutely. We always meet with the victims and, you know, certainly family members, and we'll have those conversations on the whys and the hows. And sometimes they won't they might not agree or might not understand that, but we do take the time to do that. And certainly we have and will continue to be transparent with our media partners to share that information as well. There are some perimeters. You know, obviously we can't disclose certain things related to witnesses for their protection. But we certainly can sit and talk about the generalities of a case and how the case evolved and how we investigate it.
Yeah, I like to say that police, law enforcement, all of our emergency officials and the media, they should all be partners, right? Not trying to go against one.
Absolutely,
one another.
Absolutely. And I think that relationship has gotten better in my tenure in law enforcement. You know, I've been around here over 40 years in this business, and I've seen some improvements. I still see some hurdles from here and there, but I do think there have been improvements in that regard. And honestly, you know, the public has a right to know. And so, you know, we serve the community, and you hear me say this a lot. Our jobs are to serve the community, and so part of the serving the community is being transparent.
Yeah, I understand that, Sheriff. And recently, I tried to line up an interview with an inmate, and an inmate who's been sentenced to some time in prison for a local case. And I was thinking, man, it would be really cool, 13 years down the road, because I'd spoken to the victim's family, and I was thinking it'd be really cool if I had the element from the suspect to see what was going through his mind when he committed this heinous crime, when he killed someone. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to the prison, they were all for it. They wanted to do this interview.
Sure.
The inmate, his behavior record is so bad, they would not let him do the interview because of that. They say that it's kind of a privilege.
Risk. Yeah.
A risk and a privilege. They don't want him, you know, me and him in a room together. And then they also don't want to give him the opportunity, Sheriff, to tell his side of the story when he's been nothing but bad for the last 15 years.
Right. Right. I gotcha. Well, again, we are living in really in an era where people are asking more questions. They want to know how things work. They want to understand the backstory. And so we have an obligation to continue to communicate with the public that we serve and to share information with them on how we come to our conclusions.
All right, Sheriff, you really broke it down for us. I've always been curious. I do a lot of traveling, whether it's flying, whether I'm in a car. I always have a true crime podcast on. My wife falls asleep next to me, Sheriff, and I'm always listening to something true crime related.
Sure. That's exciting.
All right, Sheriff. Anything else going on before we go?
Just a quick shout out. We're doing a veterans food drive. We're proud to partner with the Stark County Veterans Service Commission. And we were doing this food drive to support our honor home right here in Stark County. And so this month we're doing a food drive. And so you can drop off anytime Monday through Friday between 8 and 4. Non-perishable items. There are three drop-off locations. One is here at the Stark County Sheriff's Office, one over in Massillon at our training center, and at the Stark County Veterans Service Center Commission. They have a location there that you can drop off. So think of your veterans this month. As the weather starts to change, think of homeless folks. Help them out. Everybody can use a helping hand.
Yeah, we have veterans that we love that are near and dear to our heart. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Make sure you take care of them. Sheriff, we appreciate you coming on, answering all the questions that I have. And I know I have a lot every time you're on, but we really appreciate
it. Glad to do it.
All right. We'll talk to you next Thursday, okay?
Thank you.
All righty.